This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Good Bad Billionaire from the BBC World Service.
The podcast exploring the minds, the motives and the money of some of the world's richest individuals.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Der Dezember steckt voller Gewinne mit dem Rubbellos Adventskalender. 24 mal rubbeln, 24 mal die Chance auf festliche Sofortgewinne. Mit Gesamtgewinnen von mehr als 4,5 Millionen Euro über alle Winterlose hinweg. Ich bin dann mal weg.
Rubbellose, das schnellste Glück von Lotto. Chance auf einen der Höchstgewinne, siehe Rückseite der Lose.
Hello and welcome to World Business Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Mark Ashdown, and on this edition, just hours after US prosecutors charged the Indian billionaire Gautam Adani with fraud, Kenya's president says he's cancelling all Adani Group contracts.
The president's word stands supreme that all the contracts with what they were doing in the country stand suspended and cancelled.
And I'm Archana Shukla in Mumbai, which is India's business centre. And here in India, there's been a huge reaction to the bribery charges from across both the economic and political sectors.
It's now pretty clear that Mr. Adani has broken both American law and Indian law. And I'm wondering why Mr. Adani is still running around a free man in this country.
On the programme today, Archana and I will guide you through who Gautam Adani is, how important his businesses are, and what this means for India. And remember, you can contact us on WhatsApp or send a voice note, +44 330 678 3033. Or email us at any time on world.business@bbc.co.uk. It was in the early hours of the morning here in the UK when we heard from the Adani Group after criminal charges were filed against one of the world's richest people, its chairman, Gautam Adani. A spokesperson said allegations made by the US Department of Justice and US Securities and Exchange Commission against directors were baseless and denied. Those allegations that Adani and seven of his executives orchestrated a $250 million bribery scheme, paying Indian officials in order to win renewable energy contracts, which are expected to make profits of around $2 billion over the next 20 years. In the past few hours, despite the Adani Group's statement, Kenya's government has said it will pull out of all Adani contracts. We'll hear from the government in Nairobi shortly. But first, let's remind you who and what Adani is. Our India business correspondent Archana Shukla is with me for the next few minutes. Archana, this is a huge figure and a huge empire.
Well, certainly it is one of the largest conglomerates in India, and they span businesses across power, coal, infrastructure, airports, ports, or even coal and gas trading. And, you know, the market valuation is over $200 billion. You know, if you just talk about their presence, the Adani Group owns nearly all the private seaports and manages eight airports in India, including the financial capital of Mumbai. And Gautam Adani, who's the owner of this conglomerate, he's one of the richest Asians, $70 billion sort of personal wealth that he's accumulated. And he's, you know, he's seen his business empire grow in line with Prime Minister Modi's policy priorities, whether it was building infrastructure or now that, you know, it is moving to clean energy. He's a businessman who seemed to have close ties with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And here's Gautam Adani himself speaking at a summit earlier this year, praising Prime Minister Modi.
Honorable Prime Minister, your achievements on the international stage are equally remarkable. You have taken us from a country seeking a voice on a global platforms to a nation that now creates the global platforms. With your foresight in harnessing India's youth to build a Viksit Bharat and make India a fully developed nation by 2047, you have ensured that the India of today is poised to shape the global future of tomorrow.
And Archana, what has been the reaction then among the business community, and how has the group itself responded?
Well, the company has denied all charges. They've called it baseless, and they've vowed to use all legal recourse against the U.S. indictment. But the reputational damage and the concerns around governance is something that will take a while to settle. Investor confidence is certainly shaken. It was the biggest talk of the town across the business community, not just in India, but around the world, because this is the second big blow in less than 2 years for the company. And both these were related to fraud and corruption charges. Remember, early last year, Adani's stocks and bonds fell when U.S. short seller Hindenburg came out with a report alleging that the company, alleging the company on market manipulation and fraud. And, you know, the impact of that on the stocks and bonds of the company and the businesses is expected to remain under pressure in the near term.
Okay, Asha, listen, stay with us. Thank you for now, though. Let's bring in Namalia Kumar, who is the Lee Kong Chan Professor of Marketing at Singapore Management University, but previously sat at the top table, if I may say that, at the $100 billion company Tata Group. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Given your experience and a glowing CV there in these types of boardrooms at the top table, may I ask your reaction, firstly, to this story?
This story was an incredibly disturbing story from an Indian business perspective. I mean, I'm not going to take the side of Adani on this. I'm going to take the side of Indian corporate business. Because, you know, it kind of feeds the stereotype that Indian corporate governance is not up to the par. And it feeds the entire narrative about Indian corruption. So having said that, the fact that it was so specific a charge brought up that, you know, there was a number, there were people who are going to be bribed, and that this was done to fix the electricity rates. In a sense, the bribe was given so that the electricity rates for ordinary Indians could be higher. So that is, you know, absolutely scandalous at some level that, you know, we are making billionaires richer while charging the ordinary Indian citizens who are relatively poor higher rates for electricity. And the fact that the U.S. government has brought this charge is, of course, you know, very interesting because, you know, when they file a case like this, they generally have very good evidence. Otherwise, they don't go ahead. And the fact that they have the WhatsApp messages and PowerPoint presentations, which seem, at least when you read the indictment, seems to indicate that they know that people were discussing how much money would be given to whom. So the other shoe is yet to drop.
Yeah.
Because clearly there must be some intended targets of this bribing, which must be in the known to the people who have brought these charges. And when that happens, it'll be a political hot potato, not just a business hot potato.
Well, I was about to say, yes, the political ramifications. I mean, we heard Prime Minister Narendra Modi, we know the close ties. He's backed him from very early in his professional life, Adani. How difficult could this be for him?
The thing is, you have to understand, politicians are relatively clever. Narendra Modi is a very smart guy. If he has always tried to make sure there's some distance between him and Adani in the public sphere. So, you know, he is not going to get any closer to Adani after this. He's not going to try to defend him. That's not his style. What he will do is he'll just keep quiet and leave space for it to resolve itself because he doesn't have any upside in this.
Absolutely. But in terms of the wider Indian economy, then, I mean, it gives a sense Adani, as we were hearing there, is a very big player. This will have an effect.
It will have an effect on the Adani Group. Whether it will have an effect on the rest of the Indian corporate, I'm not really sure. I'll tell you why. The reason I'm not sure is currently India is the story and the flavor of the global investor community, especially because of the slowdown in China. They are, in some sense, the, you know, one thing popping up in some sense for the global investor community to get excited about. So I think they're going to see this as an Adani problem. These problems are not new. Whispers about these problems have been around for a long time in India, as well as in the international press. So they're going to try to localize this to being an Adani problem rather than an Indian corporate problem.
Okay, Namalia Kumar, thank you so much for your insight there. Also with us today on the programme, Natasha Ebtehaj from Artemis Investment Management. And Natasha, if I can turn to the economic side there, we sort of touched on this, the size of Adani as a stock market player, 25% at one point, it was wiped off $40 billion of its value today. I mean, what could be the sort of longer term impact on the business because of all this?
Yeah, hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, so Adani companies make up around 1.3% of what is known as the MSCI India Index, which is a group of Indian stocks, our popular investors. And like you say, the Adani company is down anything between 10 and 23% today. So it's really dragged the broader Indian market down. We saw something similar happen after the Hindenburg short seller report back in January 2023. There was a negative sentiment read across that broader India Inc. And we saw the market underperform for a couple of weeks after that. But it really has been local and retail investors have been driving the market higher ever since. And it's not really institutional, international investors who tend to have a lower tolerance for these kind of poor governance practices. So I'd be surprised if this actually did continue to weigh on the market for a very long time.
Okay, Natasha, listen, stay with us. We're going to get some more insights from you a little later on. Let's turn our attention to Africa, though, now, because Adani Group also has business interests across the continent. Kenya was in the process of negotiating two new contracts, one an airport deal and another to develop power transmission lines. But a short time ago, the Kenyan president, William Ruto, gave this update.
New information provided by investigative agencies and partner nations that the procuring agencies within the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum immediately cancel the ongoing procurement process for the JKIA expansion public-private partnership transaction. Because of the information that has been provided to us by partner nations, I have directed agencies within the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum to immediately cancel the ongoing procurement process for JKI expansion public-private partnership transaction, as well as the recently concluded Ketrago transmission in public partnership.
So a huge development there in Kenya. I've been speaking to Gabriel Muthuma, a political analyst and deputy government spokesman in Nairobi, and he gave me a bit more detail.
With the Adani, I think, following the indictment in the United States and, realizing that Kenya and the United States, for the longest time, they had very good partnership and collaboration in so many matters, including intelligence. This was the right thing to do for the president, and he's actually acted swiftly to ensure that that relationship with the United States continues. Remember, the United States and Kenya are very good and great partners. They have been for so many years. So this continues to strengthen the resolve of what the president said, that he is going to deal very firmly with corruption. And that this just clears the way and shows that indeed, you know, he has actually put the foot in the metal to deal with matters corruption. So with the mentioning of Adani in matters bribery and corruption in the United States, that was the best thing to do.
We hear there's information that was shared with you from other countries. I mean, may we assume that is the United States then? And are you in a position to tell us what sort of information you've received?
As of now, I don't know the kind of the information that has been shared, but there has been discussions. There were talks. Obviously, Kenya, again, is very close, and they do have very, very close proximity to the Bretton Woods, you know this, including the World Bank, the IMF. And so when such a thing happens, it's only good to really collaborate with these institutions. And where corruption has been seen to thrive, then, you know, like the mentioning of the Adani in the United States, that's actually, it's a huge thing for the president not to act on it.
In terms of Adani's business operations in Kenya, can you give us a sense of just how large they are and what happens with those contracts?
The first one, which obviously I think they had already started partnering, was the Ketrako. This was the power lines and the energy. That has, as you've heard, that has been cancelled. The other thing was the Jomo Kenyatta. They were just about to raise $2 billion to redo Jomo Kenyatta, add another runway. In fact, they were just to develop it so that it can be able to handle the sophisticates of where the industry is going. And they were supposed to really have PPP where they were to co-own for a period of 30 years before the airport now reverted back to the state. But those were the two important deals that they were pursuing. And as we speak, both have been cancelled.
Of the existing contracts in Kenya involved with the Adani Group, what may happen with those? Could they be cancelled?
Yes.
Or financial penalties?
No. They are cancelled. So the next step, I honestly do not know. We have to wait for the finance minister or the cabinet secretary, treasury, and finance. Obviously, there's going to be a sit down, and we see what that means. But as of now, they have been cancelled. The ramifications, you know, may come later. But as it stands, we don't know the ramifications, though. That's why I'm telling you, the cabinet secretary and for transport and treasury and cabinet secretary for energy. Obviously, you know, they'll have a tripartite meeting, including with the Adani Group, to see what that cancellation, you know, will mean for the Adani Group. But as of now, the president's word stands supreme that all the contracts with what they were doing in the country stand suspended and cancelled.
What kind of impact may that have on Kenya, given these are huge contracts, huge sums of money involved? You know, it's kind of relying on this infrastructure. Will that have an impact?
Actually, that's a very good question. What kind of impact is going to be felt is, one, obviously there will be some sort of delay, because now we have to go back and look for other partners who can come in and do a PPP. Kenya has now become so big in trying to attract partners or investors who would work with that particular model, because of this simple fact: we are really trying to manage our debt. We don't have any wiggle room to go and get new debt. So PPP or private partnership is the way to go. So it may take a while before we get other players. Only this time, I think we are going to be very deliberate in the person that we bring. They have to be above board. So that's the only minus that I can see. It may take a while. And as it does, the key installations like the Jomo Kenyatta and also the Ketraco, the electricity may suffer for a while.
And just finally, there have been some media reports that Mr. Adani himself maybe was in Kenya. Can you comment on that at all?
To be honest, that is just a rumour. I cannot confirm whether that is true or not. I also saw it in the social media. And as you know, misinformation and disinformation actually has been speaking to most of our social medias. So now, no, I can't confirm that.
Well, our correspondent, Archana Shukla, is still with us from India. Archana, that is quite a big move then, isn't it? We know Adani have huge business interests across Africa. Is there a sense, I mean, it might be too early to tell, but could this be the first of many dominoes to fall in Kenya? And the question there, any idea where Adani is himself and what his next move might be?
Well, Adani's presence, where he is a question that everybody is asking. At the moment, the information has not yet been shared by the company. There were rumors that he's in Kenya, but we heard the minister say, he cannot confirm that too. So, as far as Africa is concerned, Africa certainly is an important part of the global expansion plan for Adani. They were seeing Africa as a place where Adani could represent India and be, become like a challenge to China that has funded large infrastructure projects in the continent. And we've seen some of Adani's global infrastructure moves have actually rivaled China. If you look at how they have taken up wind power projects and port projects in Sri Lanka, and similar to that has been in Africa. Apart from Kenya, Adani also has signed a long-term lease to manage a port in Tanzania. And these are some of the initial level projects through which Adani has been wanting to enter Africa and get a strategic and economic foothold in other countries around that region. But yes, with the US indictment, it becomes a question mark because we've seen other governments also question the way some of the projects have been awarded. With the government change, leadership change in Sri Lanka, there's been a conversation about how the wind power projects were being awarded, and the new government has said they would reassess how it was done. The same happened in Bangladesh around the power transmission and the power deal that they had, where the Mohamed Yunus-led government said that we would be relooking at how these were awarded, and the same thing has happened in Kenya as well. So, there could be a big deal of reassessment, and maybe some of the project could be put on hold, at least in the near term.
Okay, Archana, listen, thank you very much for your analysis there. Archana Shukla in Mumbai. Let's cross to New York now, because this is clearly a story playing out on many stages across the world. These charges were brought in New York by the Department of Justice following a long investigation into the Adani Group. Well, joining me is our North America business correspondent, Ritika Gupta. Hi, Ritika.
Hi there.
Hi. Just walk us through, if you would. Bring us up to speed. This started a few years ago. How did we get to this point?
All right. Well, to bring you kind of up to speed, it was really between 2020 and 2024 that Gautam Adani and his co-defendants, they allegedly agreed to pay over $250 million in bribes to Indian officials. And those bribes were to obtain some lucrative solar energy contracts. And, you know, on several occasions, Mr. Adani, he's got strong ties to the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. It was said that he'd personally met with Indian government officials several times. And during that same period, the company, the Adani Group, was trying to raise money from US investors, so about $3 billion in stocks and bonds. And it was hiding that bribery scheme that is the fraud that they are now being charged with. And it's also more interesting context for you is that during the US presidential election, Mr. Adani himself threw his support behind Donald Trump and recently announced a $10 billion investment in US energy and infrastructure.
And in terms of that, then the political sense, we got a sense earlier on how it might affect Narendra Modi. But of course, we're going to have a change in president. Any sense of the timescale as well as how this might play out now with prosecutors?
I mean, I think the timescale is very uncertain, but I think what is key here is, you know, what it means for the US-India relations going forward. Of course, this is quite embarrassing, and it's coming soon after what was just another indictment of a former Indian official, and that was regarding an alleged attempt of murder of a Sikh activist in the US. And we know there's the discussions of Adani being very close to Prime Minister Narendra Modi. But as you mentioned, it's towards the end of the Biden presidency, so we don't know what will happen when Trump will take over. And if US authorities want to arrest him, they have to seek the extradition of Adani.
Okay, Ritika. Ritika Gupta there, our North America business correspondent, live from New York. And of course, we will bring you all the latest developments on this story here on the BBC World Service. You can contact us, of course, on WhatsApp or do send us a voice note, +44 330 678 3033. We'd love to hear from you about this developing Adani Group story. You are with World Business Report from the BBC World
Available now on the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Jude Shapiro. I'm following the chaplains of Heathrow Airport. I'll be discovering what happens when faith, flight, and the stresses of Europe's busiest airport combine.
People are so often placed in our path just at the right time.
Listen now by searching for the documentary wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Service. Now, US prosecutors are also demanding that the tech behemoth Google sells its Chrome browser as part of a series of measures aimed at ending its monopoly over how the world uses online search. Chrome has a 60% share of the market, and the Department of Justice has finally put forward various remedies, as they term them, that it wants to see to follow following a landmark anti-competition court ruling back in August. Well, our North America technology correspondent Lily Jamali reports from San Francisco.
Google has these lucrative contracts with other companies, including Apple, whereby it basically asks in exchange for billions and billions of dollars that these companies make Google's search engine the default on devices and on other browsers. The DOJ wants to do away with those contracts. And after Google issues its proposed remedies, we will see the judge make a ruling siding with one side or the other in this case by next summer.
Well, still with us is Natasha Ebtahaj. Natasha, as we heard there, Google will put forward countermeasures before Christmas. The judge will then issue a decision next summer, we believe. What happens until then? And I guess lots of positioning by other companies and Google itself for people using it. Is it just business as usual?
Well, I think there's been quite a negative market reaction today. The shares are off 6%. And so I think the market is very much worried about these proposals by the DOJ. They've been much more extensive than what the market anticipated or recently reported. And if they are fully implemented, which is unlikely, but if they are, it's a big shift in Google's business model. And likely we'll see big shifts in power to other search companies. So it potentially is a change for Google ahead.
Okay, Natasha, stay with me, because next, I'm going to get your view on this in a moment. The UK Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, said just yesterday he has no plans to join Blue Sky. Yet the new kid on the block in the hugely competitive world of social media has been growing in popularity. It's often been the most downloaded app in both the US and UK and Apple stores. Could it then grow to become a genuine rival platform to Elon Musk's X? Well, the founder and CEO of Blue Sky, Jay Graber, has been speaking to Five Live's Rick Edwards about how she plans to grow the business.
We've been working on launching a subscription plan for premium features. That's something that we'll be getting out soon, although our recent growth wave has sort of delayed our entry into this market. But our goal is to make sure that users always have an option to access the service. And then on top of that, there's options for, you know, users and developers to start monetizing through the larger dev ecosystem that we're building. We plan to offer services there as well.
So will there be adverts on Blue Sky at any point in the future, do you think?
We're not going to do traditional advertising because that relies on having a single feed that you control. And then you show people ads in that feed. So we don't control the main feed. We have some default feeds we give you, but then you could uninstall those even if you want and just look at the cat feed or something else like that. And so those are actually feeds that, you know, we don't have control over. We couldn't put ads in. So there'll always be free options and users will always have the option to use something else. And so if we ever do advertising, it would have to be something that, you know, is done with a lot more user consent.
So, Natasha, no adverts then. Could that really work? And can Blue Sky, do you think, really knock Elon off his perch, shall we say? Well, it's not a perch anymore, is it, but at X?
Well, it's not difficult to launch a pure social media platform. Launching one and gathering some users is pretty simple, as long as there's like a common philosophy among the readers or interests. But keeping them is hard, and you need to incentivize that generation of content and needing some advertising or influencer payment method. Or, as we've seen with other big tech companies, is those making other apps around that social media platform to create essentially super apps. So we've seen that with Meta and Tencent in China. So there is a chance, but it is a long road to getting bigger.
Yeah, and I've got to say, just quickly, Natasha, Bitcoin, where do you stand on that? It's heading for 100,000, is it?
I think that's all just based on the sentiment of Trump. So, yes, it's your guess is as good as mine here.
And just to finish that, though, on the social media side of things, because that is such an influence, isn't it? I mean, it's a real battle, isn't it? Elon Musk, of course, positioned himself with X. Clearly, you know, it's a hot topic, that.
No, definitely. I mean, it's become a real good platform for him, for his various companies. I mean, we've seen Tesla do incredibly well off the back of this election. That was partly influenced, obviously, by the X platform. So for him, this has been a real coup in both personal terms, political terms and business terms.
Okay, listen, Natasha, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. Natasha Ebtehaj there from Artemis Investment Management. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, just before we go then, I've got to mention this story, the biggest story of the day, really, well, certainly in the art world. A banana duct taped to a wall has sold for $6.2 million. Yes, $6.2 million at auction in New York. It's the work of Italian visual artist Maurizio Cattelan, and it's part of his Comedian installation. It's been running for a few years now. The lucky bidder, Chinese crypto entrepreneur Justin Sun, who promptly announced his plans for it. He's going to eat it. He outbid six rivals for the most expensive piece of fruit probably this morning ever purchased, which incidentally was bought from a little shop down the road for 35 cents earlier in the day and then sold for $6.2 million. That's it from us. Thanks for joining us on World Business Report.
Available now on the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Jude Shapiro. I'm following the chaplains of Heathrow Airport. I'll be discovering what happens when faith, flight, and the stresses of Europe's busiest airport combine.
People are so often placed in our path just at the right time.
Listen now by searching for the documentary wherever you get your BBC podcasts.